You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
All right, let's go, everybody. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com as well. A lot of questions today. We'll see if we can come up with answers. We definitely have questions. Pete certainly had them after the game yesterday. He looked lost in a way that I can't ever recall Pete looking that way and sounding that way. So funny. I ended up watching the press conference twice with Pete. I watched it the first time listening to it and then saw it again on mute on my TV. And I got like a very different vibe. It was crazy watching it on TV and seeing without hearing the answers, how just his body language, right? I really ended up focusing on it because I couldn't hear him. And just how many times he sort of had his palms up, shrugging, like, geez, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why our offense can't score. I don't know what's going on with my quarterback. I don't know why my highest paid player on my defense continues to let every single pass into his zone be completed. I don't know. I don't know why the guys that we've drafted first and each year for the last 5 years have done jack squat. I don't know. All I know is that you're sitting here 3-7, and it's not the Seahawks. Doesn't look like them. Not playing hard defense. Not hard, you know, easy to move the ball up and down the field against. Not hitting those deep passes. Not running the ball. Not looking like you have a clear sense of who you are. Yeah, Pete looks like he doesn't have an answer for it right now. He told us after the game he's not used to this. He's not used to losing like this. He hopes he never gets used to losing like this. And yeah, I totally agree, but he's got more questions than answers right now.
I don't have an answer for that. I don't think.
You just leave that. That's all the sound from Pete we really need today, unfortunately.
I don't have an answer for that. I don't know. We're not getting our chances at making the plays and the opportunities. No, you saw us. We're trying to run the football to give us some rhythm to play off of it. But you still got to convert. You know, you still got to convert on third down. We didn't get it done.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Right? I mean, that just seems to be the most common refrain that we're hearing right now, to the point where Pete ended up walking away from the press conference and saying, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And then he came back, and credit to him for doing so. I'm certainly not ripping Pete for it. I understand. He's unfamiliar with this. He's not quite sure how he wants to handle it. And he walks away and then realizes, hey, I'm not trying to make these guys look bad. The media is just doing their job. And he goes back out, and credit to him, little apology and move it along. But I am struck by how he's not sure what's going on right now. I'm struck by a few things. I'm struck by Pete. I'm struck this morning by Larry Stone, columnist for the Seattle Times. And I love Larry. I really do. He's not Skip Bayless. Larry is the opposite of a hot take guy, right? He does not jump to a conclusion. Larry is a measured, thoughtful, long-time baseball reporter, national baseball guy, right, for the Seattle Times, who made the move to being a columnist a couple of years ago. And, you know, look, Larry's doing a good job there, but he's not Skip Bayless, right? He's not Stephen A. Smith. He's not out there firing hot takes and trying to be, like, you know, the voice of the city.
Okay.
And Larry's, after the game, writing, end of an era. Yesterday feels like it could be the end of an era. Go read the column. It's good. Larry's a good writer.
He's not the only one. I mean, the whole entire, you probably saw on your Twitter poll last night.
Well, I was going to get to that in a moment, and sort of that's the Russell-specific part of it. But Larry, able to look broadly at what's happening before you get into all the specifics and say, is this the end of the last decade? Has it finally come to an end? Pete, Russ, Legion of Boom winning, like each thing has been falling off the space shuttle, right? You had the big boosters fall off, and then the little booster falls off, right? And back and are all of the little pieces falling off until eventually all you're left with is this shell that isn't able to do what we've all watched for the last decade plus here with the Seahawks. Did it feel like yesterday was the end of an era, losing to a Colt McCoy-led Arizona team, missing its number one quarterback, its number one wide receiver, its number one defensive end? And just, look, they didn't look like any great shakes. Did you watch Arizona play and be like, oh, nobody could beat them? I understand that they're a good team, but they're missing three of their best players, including their quarterback. And Colt McCoy is a 35-year-old game manager. And you were unable to do much against him. Yeah. He throws for over 300 yards, gets completions whenever he needs them. They run the ball a little bit on you, and then beyond all of that, you can't move the ball. You can't score. By the way, let's not forget, Arizona missed 7 points yesterday on missed kicks. They missed 7 points, 2 field goals, and an extra point. So, yeah, you were close. You were in it, right? You were a defensive stop away, which, of course, you couldn't get late. But they also missed out on 7 points.
Let's also not forget, this is the second season your defense has lost to Colt McCoy on two different teams.
Yeah, and last year was a little funky. I mean, Colt McCoy didn't exactly dominate. He threw for like 105 yards for the
Giants.
No, but
Wayne Gallman did, and he wasn't even on a team to start the year. But so there's a problem.
True. I thought Russell should have won that game. He had multiple chances at the end of that Giants game last year. So I don't want to. Now you're distracting me, asking more questions.
Saying this is a continuing problem.
Let me throw out a few more questions while we're at it. And we're going to try to answer some of these today. And you guys, I'm sure, all over the text machine already here. 206-421-3776, Mac and Jack's text line. What's going on with Russ? What's going on with Russell Wilson? I mean, say what you want about the Seahawks in general, and there's a lot of questions there. But we've been trying to figure those out for the last few years. And I can point pretty easily to missed drafts and money misspent and free agency places they haven't done anything. Like, I can point to a roster specifically that is not well constructed and say that's the problem with the Seahawks. That Russell Wilson's been covering up all of these warts for – who is it who doesn't like warts? Was it you, Justin?
Yeah. It's just that word.
Russell's been
– I don't know if anyone loves them.
Who doesn't like but a
Justin
good
– Who doesn't like
a good
the
wart?
Word.
Yeah.
It gives me the same reaction that pumpkin guts give me. It's just like, oh.
Well, Russell's been covering them up for years. So I kind of have a sense of what's going on with the Seahawks. They're not well constructed. Their roster's not very good. To me, it's fairly simple. But what's going on with Russell Wilson? Because he's been dealing with a poor roster for years now and has found ways to cover it up. So what's going on? He's not had another rough game. And unlike last week when I was very willing to blame the finger, I'm not this week. I thought his accuracy looked just fine.
Yeah.
No issues with accuracy. He threw the ball where he wanted to. He just didn't know where to throw it. He knew where he was able to throw to the spot accurately the way Russell Wilson always has. It wasn't physical yesterday. It was the offense. It was the protection. It was his inability to escape. It was the decision making. He didn't throw any picks, but he didn't do anything. There was no Russell moment. I'm not willing to say it was rust. He had another full week of practice. I'm not willing to say it was weaponry. He had Tyler Lockett. He had DK Metcalf. He had Gerald Everett. He's got guys to throw the ball to.
The Waldron?
Well, there's a question in there for sure, right? What's going on with Shane Waldron, a guy who from the very beginning we've said is caught in between. And I don't know. I can't tell you what is the fault of the offensive coordinator and what is the fault of the quarterback. But I can tell you that their offense for weeks now has been not just largely ineffective, totally ineffective, totally ineffective. And I can go through and tell you all the problems they have on their roster. But even despite those, I expected their offense to be able to move the ball this year. You still have a great pair of weapons on the outside at wide receiver. You still have Russell Wilson, an elite franchise quarterback. You should not at any point be stifled like this. This is not Seahawks football. So, yeah, I got questions. What the heck is going on with Russell Wilson? And I find it interesting that when I throw that out here on a little poll, and we'll dig into this a little bit more at 6:45, almost 40% of you blame Russ. Yeah, 30% are going to blame the coaching scheme. Only 16%, by the way. I threw my vote here on protection and the offensive line. I think it's a major problem. Okay. Some of you are going to blame his injury or his legs or his age. Okay, 13%. But almost 40% of people with almost 4,000 votes here are going to say it was Russell's decision-making and his ego that are the problem, that are the biggest problem right now with Russell and the offense. Whether that's, not checking it down, not looking for the open man, trying to play hero ball and throw it deep. I mean, you're going to have to explain that to me over the course of the day, guys. 206-421-3776, call or text. So you explain to me why you're saying decision-making and ego for Russell. I just threw it out there as an option. I didn't think it would be number one.
Do you think his offseason had anything to do with the way that's perceived? Like, you go out and you talk a lot about your legacy. You kind of, maybe not overtly, but you blame other people a bit for...
You said you needed more help.
Yeah. And so now it's all on you. Like, you...
But did they get the help? I mean, like, is he still right? I think these are all very fair questions because I think the roster is still hurting. He got the offensive coordinator he wanted and Shane Waldron. How's that working out? And he's stuck between Pete and Russ. Man, there are so many questions. But at the end of it, what does it lead to? I'll come back to Larry Stone. Does today feel like the end of an era? Does it feel like our last decade of fun? And for those of you saying no, like me, is it because we're just desperately trying to hold on to the fun that we've had and not go home at the end of the party? I think these are real questions we've all got to ask ourselves, and we'll do it over the course of the next 4 hours. Coming up next, a rough football weekend topped off by a huge positive surprise. That and everything you need to know next.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Texter here says, Russ almost looks like he's got the yips. Line still isn't great, but it's much better than what he's had before. The pocket presence just seems to be off. Not seeing wide open receivers in the end zone, holding the ball far too long, not adjusting to protection appropriate at the line to help his O-line. He just looks off. I think all of that is true, but that, like, it doesn't explain the how or the why, I guess I should say. Like, why would that have just occurred? What has changed? What is different? It can't just be the finger. It's been almost a year. It's really been since the second half of last year that we've been watching this. So lots of questions, not a ton of answers. Right now, we'll tell you what you need to know.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the Seahawks are just flat out outplayed yesterday in every conceivable way by a division rival that didn't have its star quarterback, wide receiver, or defensive end in a game they absolutely had to have. They barely even showed up. No real excuses either after this one. No officials to blame. No injuries while you're waiting to heal. No scheme problem or major coaching decision. They just got beat. Flat out beat. Roster just wasn't as good as Arizona's was yesterday, and it was obvious over 60 largely lifeless minutes. 23-13 your final, but outside of one quick touchdown drive that offered up a little bit of hope, the Hawks just looked out of it all day. Gave up 328 yards to Colt McCoy, mustered just 45 offensive plays total in the game. In contrast, McCoy threw the ball 44 times. They were just 2 of 10 on third downs, the Cards 7 of 14. And while they've been largely quiet, adding Sidney Jones this offseason to buttress their team, the Cardinals got 88 yards from midseason addition Zach Ertz, for whom they gave up, what, a rookie corner and a fifth-round pick? The differences were constant. Yeah, there's also some credit to be doled out. Defense played hard, kept them nominally in the game for, what, 58 minutes. But again, on the final stand they simply had to make, they whiffed on a sack, gave up a key third down conversion, took a penalty in the end zone after a reverse call had given them new life. It just was ugly, ugly, and more ugly. Russell Wilson, ugly for sure. He was more accurate than he was last week, but constantly under pressure, unable to escape. Iffy decision-making, 13 points, not going to cut it in the NFL. And Pete Carroll's not even really sure what the problem is.
Yes, absolutely. It's not even close.
Yeah, that's him answering how frustrated he is. At 3-7, the playoffs out of reach right now for this group. They'll have 7 games left to play for pride and to figure out what next year will look like. Unfamiliar territory for a Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll team, but it may determine whether this is Russell's team next year, Pete's team next year, or not. Meanwhile, scores not exactly kind to the Seahawks around the NFL. Minnesota got closer to that 7th playoff spot with a win over Green Bay. 169 receiving yards from Justin Jefferson, who was really good. Vikings 5-5. Niners have a little win streak going. They put the Jags back into their place 30-10. They're now 5-5 as well. Eagles get to 5-6 by beating the Saints. Kansas City knocks off Dallas. The Colts beat Buffalo. Jonathan Taylor with 185 yards in that one. Josh Allen, a pair of sacks.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, if you thought just removing the coach would fix the ailing Huskies, it did not. There was some good news. Quarterback Dylan Morris throwing for 387 yards. But that came with a couple of picks, 4 turnovers for the team on the day, and throw on another loss. 20-17 in Colorado. That means they are now 4-7 on the year, guaranteed a losing season and without bowl eligibility as they search for a new coach. Keep an eye on how many other openings keep coming up. This weekend, Florida let Dan Mullen go as their coach, so we'll keep watching for moves at ASU, Cal, UCLA, plus we know there's an opening at USC. Yeah, the competition is rough for Washington looking to hire right now. Washington State looking for a head coach, but interim guy Jake Dickert sure making a case for the position. His Cougs blew out Arizona Friday night. They are bowl eligible now. No mean feat considering all of the outside distractions this season. Big night for Max Borgi, who had 139 yards and two scores in his last game in Pullman. Jaden Delora very good as well. He threw for four touchdowns, and that all sets up an Apple Cup on Friday here in Seattle, with the Huskies trying to salvage at least a little dignity and the Cougs trying to improve the quality of their bowl invite. Meanwhile, rough look for the Pac-12 this weekend. Oregon will fall way out of the college football playoff scene. They just got undressed by Utah 38-7.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Now Geeky to the side of the goal. Schwartz off a body. A chance. They score! Jared McCann with some backhand magic. It's a power play goal, and Seattle has tied it.
Well, miracles never cease. Not just a goal, but of the power play variety. Let's give the Kraken a little bit of credit. Battled hard last night, found a way to beat a very good Washington team that had been hot coming in. Win breaks a six-game losing streak that had come after a very strange weekend, too. First, head coach Dave Haxtell called out his goalie after the loss to Chicago. Then he didn't play Grubauer against his old team, the Avalanche. Then they got their doors blown off by the Avs, causing Haxtell to cancel practice on Saturday and make everybody go stewing it. This thing could have gone in any direction last night. I wouldn't have been shocked if the team had come out flat again and we were talking about whether or not they need a new coach. Instead, they carried play for nearly the entire 60 minutes, got a couple of big saves from Grubauer. They win 5-2, goals from five different players. They will now have Carolina at home on Wednesday. Still waiting for Jerry Dipoto to get something done this offseason, but single tickets go on sale Wednesday at Mariners.com. And NBA action last night, Clippers, Lakers, Bulls, Suns, Warriors all win. LeBron ejected from that game against the Pistons for throwing an elbow. It's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour.
Text from the 253. People said Rodgers was cooked a few years ago. Change of coach, right back to MVP.
Did they? I don't remember people saying that, to be honest with you. I'm not saying that Russell's cooked either, but I think trying to figure out what the heck has gone wrong here is important. Yeah, it may be scheme related. It may have to do with the relationship with Pete Carroll, which may be fractured. I think that's one of the reasons Larry Stone said end of an era, right? Because some of it is relationship driven. Can these two guys coexist? Or is there not the trust? Remember, we talked about the speed of trust with Pete a couple of weeks ago. If there isn't that level of trust, are they able to work together? Are they able to get the best out of each other? I think all of those things are fair questions to ask right now of the Seahawks. Do I think a change of coach all of a sudden that, you know, Russell Wilson starts playing vintage, unbelievable football? No, I don't know that I think that. But I think that there are problems up and down this roster. And Russell right now, instead of being the masking agent, is not that. I don't know if he's the problem, but he's sure not solving the problems the way he always has. Mm-hmm. So I think these are all real questions, and I don't know that we've fully got answers. Looking forward to talking to Pete this morning at 9:30. In the meantime, an old Bill Parcells quote you really don't want to hear, but it sure seems relevant as we buzz around the NFL. We'll do it next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Well, you've heard Bill Parcells say it. You are what your record says you are. That's the famous quote. Seahawks sit at 3-7. How many teams are below the Seahawks in the standings right now in the league? Four. Four teams have worse record than the Seahawks do. The Lions are 0-9. The Jets are 2-8. The Jaguars are 2-8. The Texans are 2-8. And then there sit the Seahawks at 3-7, tied with the Bears, and then the Giants are 3-6. So the Seahawks have three wins. Only four teams have fewer. When you say that out loud, right, all this talk of, hey, win a game here, make the playoffs there, and, you know, a ref's call here and complain about this there and one play. It just doesn't add up. You are in a league with the Lions, Jets, Jaguars, and Texans right now, And that's not the kind of company that you want to keep in the NFL. That's where the Seahawks are. That's just reality. That's not opinion, right? That's not Mike Salk hot take guy. That's not me coming on this morning and trying to be negative or whatever it is I get accused of or pessimistic. Straight facts, homie. Here we go. The Lions, Jets, Jaguars, and Texans are the only teams in the league with fewer wins than the Seahawks. They're tied with the Bears. The Bears are a mess.
They were chanting fire Nagy yesterday.
The Giants are 3-6. Here's some teams that are significant, are better. The Falcons, you know what kind of a mess the Falcons have been? They're 4-6. The Dolphins are awful. They're an awful, awful football team. They get a better record than you. They're 4-7. The Panthers, they've gone back and forth. Who's their quarterback? Oh, that's right. It's Cam Newton. He had another touchdown yesterday, 5-6. The Eagles, they want to fire their coach. They don't have a quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a placeholder, 5-6. The Broncos don't have a quarterback, right? They're 5-5. The Broncos are terrible. They're trading away Von Miller to play for next year. They're 5-5. The Raiders, you want to talk about a year that has been a complete disaster. The Raiders had their coach embroiled in a horrible email scandal of sexism, racism, and homophobia, then had one of their best players arrested for vehicular homicide after driving 156 miles an hour. They're 5-5. The Niners, one of the only teams you've beaten this year. The Niners are not good. Talk about quarterback woes. Jimmy Garoppolo looks like every time he's got to throw, he's got to take a crow hop because he's got no arm left. And then when they bring in Trey Lance, he's worse. They're 5-5. They're two games better than you right now.
All right.
You want me to keep going?
No.
I can keep going with this all day. Teams that are better than you. Remember at the beginning of the year, first game of the year, the Seahawks trounced Indianapolis, and you're like, oh, man, that might just be a terrible team over there. They got major problems at quarterback with Carson Wentz. I mean, he can't play anymore. And, yeah, they got a running game, but they don't have any weapons on the outside, and their defense looks shot, and the offensive line's not the same. Those Colts, they're not good. This win almost might not count. They're 6-5. 6-5? 6-5, the Colts. 6-5.
What's the record?
They're 6-5.
Okay.
You're 3-7. You are what your record says you are. And if that's the case, and the company you keep is abysmal, here's the problem. You traded away your first round pick. You could end up with a top five pick in the draft this year. First time in forever. Chance to actually rebuild this thing. And you traded it away for Jamal Adams, who, by the way, has been awful. What a mess. So when Larry Stone, noted hot take artist Larry Stone, says that this could be the end of an era, yeah, I'm all ears. Yeah, I'm reading that. Yeah, I want to know exactly what's going on next. Yeah, my antenna's up. You name it. Because you're 3-7. You're keeping pace with some of the worst franchises in the NFL this year. And some of these teams that I admittedly laugh at are much better than you. That's not a position you want to be in. Let's buzz around the NFL. Whew. Thank you. I need some of that music. It'll help. Music makes us feel a little better, right?
It's a little bit more than music at this point.
Play some of that Rod Stewart we were playing earlier, yeah. Justin. Justin, I got a little Rod Stewart before the show today. What happened to that guy? You want to talk about end
you
of an era?
Rabbit holes you guys go down.
I didn't, well, obviously I wasn't around.
This one was
mine.
This is me. Rod Stewart, I heard Hot Legs this morning. Like, Rod Stewart in the 70s rocked, man, with Faces and stuff. Hot Legs is like a bluesy rock tune. Like, he's got some grit. He's got that voice, that scratchy voice. And then you listen in the 80s, and it's so cheesy.
That's when I was like, when was the Leave Virginia Alone span? I like that. It's like, oh, that was 95.
There's so many, like, all these rockers that got cheesy in the 80s. Peter Cetera from Chicago. Steve Winwood, and I like Steve
Winwood.
Don Henley. Like, all these guys who have, like, unbelievable catalogs from the 70s just, like, decided they wanted to be on, like, whatever, like, in Boston it was Wish or Magic 106.7. Like, they all wanted to be on the station my mom listened to.
Elevator music.
They all found keyboards and synthesizers.
Gosh! What a joke. All right, let's start.
What's going on in the NFL?
Let's start. I'm trying to avoid this. Packers, they could have helped out the Seahawks, but instead they lose to the Vikings 34-31. 29-yard field goal. The Vikings actually hit a field goal as time expired? Did this happen? Do we have visual proof of this? I'm not sure. I don't believe it. I see the score, but it must have happened another way. Rodgers went to the locker room just before halftime to get his toe looked at. He says it's really bad.
No, and I've had turf toe. It's a little worse than turf toe. I'm just going to have to get through the bye and hope I can get some healing over the bye week. Probably the same schedule next week. I was in a lot of pain. Went into halftime early to get it checked out. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very painful. Got stepped on in the first half, and that kind of activated all the symptoms I was having. It's going to be another painful week next week, and then hopefully start to feel a little better in the bye.
You know who he's got to call?
I was like, I think I might know a guy.
I know who to call, man. He'll get you not only fixed, but better than before.
You need a healer?
Rodgers is playing the tough guy card. But doesn't the tough guy card make more sense still than the I'm a good healer card?
I don't know. Did he say it was going to hurt? I didn't hear him say painful in there.
Yeah,
enough.
He mentioned it might be worse. It's so much worse than turf toe.
Are we sure that wasn't Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, yeah, turf toe? Yeah, I know guys who miss games with turf toe. It's worse than turf toe.
Yeah, he's the one-upper, the sniff at the end.
God. Yeah, I'm fine, Aaron. Sheesh. All right, that's thanks a lot, Packers. You could have helped out the Seahawks. You did nothing. I mentioned the Colts earlier and how bad they looked when the Seahawks played them in Game 1. They figured things out. They dominate the Bills, 41-15. Jonathan Taylor went off.
Taylor in for another touchdown. Five, it's a one-yard run. The dynamic Jonathan Taylor. Five touchdowns today for the Colts in a stunner.
Yeah, he was pretty good yesterday. 204 all-purpose yards, 185 on the ground. Five touchdowns for Taylor, four rushing, one receiving. He just, like, won the game all by himself.
Although, I think Carson Wentz only had, like, 106 yards passing.
Yeah, he didn't need to. He just hand the ball off the whole time. You know who didn't look good once again? Is my guy Josh Allen. They lost 3 of 5 games. The Bills are hovering right around 500. All that Josh Allen glorification, MVP voting. Yeah. Let's just play the long game there.
They were, like, still close with the Dolphins in the fourth quarter, too. So it's been a month of bad football for them.
At his core, Josh Allen, at his core, in my view, is a turnover machine. I know he avoided them last year and they ended up doing what they did because of it, but I believe him to be inaccurate and a turnover machine. We'll see how it ends up. He may still prove me wrong. I'll be willing to be proven wrong there. But they dominate the Bills. Colts get a big win. Ravens playing without their backup or without their quarterback get a pretty good outing from Tyler Huntley, leads them to a 16-13 win over the Bears. Lamar Jackson sitting out with an illness, but it wasn't COVID. So there's that. What kind of illness did he have?
I asked earlier.
Gout?
Nobody's been answering.
No. He needs to work on that immune. He's had COVID twice also.
Hey, what's going on with that guy? Maybe it's because he weighs like 130 pounds.
Gout?
Hey, he might have the gout.
Okay.
Groz gets gout sometimes. The disease of kings.
Yep, I was going to say it's rich man's disease.
Yeah, exactly. Eating too much good food.
Tyler Huntley, though. Pac-12, baby.
Yeah, he's a Utah guy, right? Yep. They had a pretty good week. Good job, Utah. Let's see. Tennessee gets beat. What a topsy-turvy NFL this year. Looks like Tennessee was going to be the best team in the league, and now they just did not do much of anything yesterday. They lose to the Texans, who are awful.
Third and 6. Tannehill intercepted. Picked off by Gruche Hill. Head is steaming for the linebacker. Tannehill chasing. Gruche Hill inside the 20 and dragged down around the 5.
Yeah, the Texans end up beating the Titans 22-13. Look, I know they're missing Derrick Henry. Obviously, they had to throw it 52 times in the game with Ryan Tannehill, which is not what you want to do, and that's how you end up with four picks on the day.
Like, that's if you think Josh Allen's a turnover machine, that's what I see Tannehill.
Well, yeah, but no one's saying Ryan Tannehill's the MVP.
No,
he's the hand-it-off to Derrick Henry guy.
That's true.
Chargers beat the Steelers last night 41-37. They sure keep things interesting. They had a 27-13 lead with about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Let the Steelers score a couple more touchdowns. Herbert, 382 yards in the air, and another 90 on the ground. Justin Herbert's running wild.
Herbert fires open, making the grab. Mike Williams down the sideline. High steps his way in for the touchdown.
You think the Chargers could win the Super Bowl?
I was arguing with a friend yesterday about that. Like, who's trying to win L.A.? Like, who's going to be the team in L.A.?
It's
like,
never going to be the Chargers.
Hanging around.
It's never going to be
every
them.
Year, they're a team that you're like, yeah, they're up and coming. And then they just always find spectacular ways to blow it.
It's just like, it's just who they are. It's in their DNA.
Yeah.
It's funny. You look at the NFL standings. Like, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? You have any sort of clear sense of who the Super Bowl winner is?
No.
I mean, go through the top teams in the NFL by record. The Cardinals are 9-2. All right, they get Kyler Murray back. They get Hopkins back. Maybe it's the Cardinals. Weird for me to think, but okay.
Yeah.
Titans are 8-3, but you see what happens. Like, they don't have Derrick Henry. They might just completely blow. They just lost to the Texans. The Packers are 8-3. Packers could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely.
Aaron Rodgers could win the Super Bowl again. The Ravens are 7-3. I have no idea what Ravens team you're going to see from week to week, for sure. Cowboys are 7-3, but trending in the wrong direction. Rams are 7-3, trending in the wrong direction. Bucks are 6-3. They're going in the wrong direction. Patriots are 7-4. They're headed in the right direction. So we'll see what happens there. Dominant defense. But rookie quarterback? You're going to win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback? Hard to fathom. Hard for me to imagine. Chiefs are 7-4, starting to move in the right direction. Maybe there's a conversation. And then you're into the 6-4 teams. Bengals, Chargers, Bills, no, no, and no.
Oh,
stop.
I'm saying no yet.
I mean, I'm going to say no. Yeah.
You had a winning record.
Steelers 5-4, Colts 6-5, Browns 6-5, and then you're below 500. So, yeah, I don't see obvious Super Bowl winning team. But it's interesting when you start looking at the contenders. Cardinals, Packers, Patriots, Chiefs seem to be the four that we were able to look at and say, yeah, I could imagine them winning the Super Bowl this year. So that's a quick trip around the NFL on a Monday morning. And yeah, maybe we're just distracting from the obvious. Here's my question. You guys can jump in. You can call in. You can text in. This is my question that I think we got to figure out. 206-421-3776. What is going on with Russell Wilson? What's going on with Russ? Who is that guy? That is not the Russell Wilson that I've watched for a decade. Who is it?
I was reading some of your responses to your tweet that were
making
me laugh.
Hold on a moment. I want to just sort of set this up with the poll real quick. So I mentioned that in a tweet yesterday, one of those Twitter poll deals, that obviously Russ has not been good here for the last few weeks. So asking the question, in your view, what is the biggest problem? Okay. Is it coaching and scheme? So are you blaming other people, the coaching staff, for what's gone wrong? Is it the protection in the offensive line? Do you think that Russ just hasn't enough time to operate? Is it his finger / his age, his decreasing legs, etc.? Has all of that taken a toll enough so that that's the biggest problem? Or is it Russell's decision-making, Russell's ego that won't let him check down to the open man or is demanding of changes, this, that, and the other? Is Russell himself causing the problem? I was pretty shocked by the answers, honestly. I'm surprised anybody said injury, age, or legs. That, to me, was just a non-starter. I don't see that as being the issue. I don't see that as the problem. His finger, last week I thought wasn't good. This week? Look, fine. Russell was perfectly accurate, threw the ball where he wanted to. His legs have looked pretty good all year long. He's not as he hasn't been escaping very well, but it doesn't look like it's a leg issue. Like, he can run. He's in good shape. So I'm not blaming that. 13% say it's the injury, age, and legs. Okay. 16% say it's his protection in the offensive line. I'm surprised that number's not higher, and that's where my vote was, honestly. And I think that there's a lot to, there's some to all of these. But I watch that game, and every time they drop him back in the pocket, it's like the moment he looks up, somebody drills him in the chops. They've spent so many resources on this offensive line. Dwayne Brown wanted an extension. I know why. If I were Dwayne Brown, I don't want an extension in this offseason, too. Please pay me for the next few years because I'm cooked. I'm toast. I got a fork sticking out of my back. Please, God, pay me because I don't know if I have anything left. And he doesn't.
I also voted for the protection O-line. One of the responses from at that C-Tech said, I really think it's the offensive line play. If Russell had time in a clean pocket, the offense would be effective. Sometimes he's a decent run, but never a leg-churning big push with the help of the line.
Totally agree. And you see, like, the one big play they had in the game, right, the throw to Lockett, came when Russell had enough time to just kind of sit back there and wait for something to happen. They don't get any protection. And I don't care what kind of crazy schemes you cook up. If you don't have the time to throw, it doesn't matter. So that, to me, would be number one. But only 16% of you are saying it's a protection offensive line thing. Dwayne Brown, what is going on? He's like a turnstile right now. All kinds of issues. So that to me, would be up there. 31.5% of you say it's coaching and scheme. So about a third of you are blaming Pete Carroll, Shane Waldron, and the fact that they're not letting Russ do his thing, right? That if they were to run, well, Russ wants to go more up-tempo, right? What, is that what I heard after the game? Russ wants to go a little bit more up-tempo here.
I felt like we had some good chances, you know, on some things, and things didn't go our way, a couple plays here and there. I felt like, we could have played a little bit sharper, you know, and I think that for me, the standard's always high. You know, the standard's always to find a way to win. That's what it's really about. I think that one of the things that we did well was, you know, picking up the tempo and moving the ball really well. We went up and down the field right before half, and then, you know, near the end of the game there, we responded really well with that. And I think that we have to figure out how to tap into that a little bit more, maybe.
Here's the thing. Every team looks good doing that. It's the NFL. Every team looks good before the end of the half. Every team looks good in two-minute drill. Like, the whole world changes in the NFL in 2 minutes. Everybody runs up and down the field in two-minute drill. Everybody. That's not the offense, not the rest. You can't just say, oh, well, if we just do that the rest of the time, we'll be fine. How'd that work out for Chip Kelly? What are you talking about, Russ? Is this your first day? Is that really his answer? Is this your first day? Are you new? Are you new here? Have you been watching the NFL for 2 decades? You can't just tap into two-minute drill and do it more often. That's like the whole NFL. If that was the case, everybody would score 100 points a game. That's your answer? I would just do what we do at the end of the half. Yeah, everyone does that. What are you talking about?
One of the responses from your tweet from at Michael Amsel, Pete doesn't want to be a dink and dunk team. Problem is, we don't have any plays that are easy in rhythm throws.
I think they do. I disagree. I think that's literally what Shane Waldron brought here. They just don't work. I don't know if that's a Russell thing. I don't know what the reason is, and that gets you to the last part of this poll. 39, almost 40% of you, the highest answer in the poll, say it's on Russ. Say it's his decisions, his ego that is the problem. Whether it's decision-making on individual plays or his overall focus on trying to hit the deep ball or his overall focus on demanding more control in the organization and blaming everybody else. Almost 40% of you, the highest number of respondents, said it's on Russ. Not the offensive line, not his finger, not his coach, not the scheme, not the play calling, him. Decision-making, ego. Decision-making and ego is your winner in this poll by not quite a landslide, but by a whole lot more than I would have guessed. That's a lot.
Sean McKillop.
Are you guys saying you're done with Russ? Are you saying Russ is the problem? That's a big statement.
Yeah, it is.
That's a big statement right there. What is going on with Russell Wilson? That's my question. 206-421-3776. Grab a quick call. Sean's in Centralia. Sean, what's going on with Russell Wilson?
Well, you know, I wish it was a simple answer, but I think you have to look at, we blamed Shoddy last year for the second half and Pete for the second half. He was not that. He wasn't Russ, great Russ, the second half last year. He hasn't been great Russ even at the beginning. And I agree with you, Brown isn't looking good, but if you're going to blame Brown, I'd look over there on the right side with Shell.
Well, I can look on the right side, too, but Shell wasn't demanding an offseason extension, so it makes Dwayne Brown an easy target. They've both been turnstiles, man, and the middle hasn't been much better with a center position. My gosh. Look, I'm with you, man. There's offensive line problems, and none of these by themselves are the answer. But Russell Wilson doesn't look like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson doesn't look like an elite franchise quarterback right now. That's not Russ. That's an imposter, man. I built the high church of Wilsonism, for gosh sakes. Like, this is something I believe in strongly. No one believes in Russ more than me. I have fought and laid down on behalf of Russell Wilson. You call him short? Heck no. You say he can't do this, that, and the other? I got your back. You put him outside the top three or five elite quarterbacks? I will fight to the death, tooth and nail, for everything Russell Wilson can do and has done in his career. But the guy I'm watching right now doesn't look anything like the player that I've gone to the mat for. Who is this?
One of your responses from Sean McKillop says, Russell acts like Rick Vaughn did in Major League 2. We need Major League 1 Ricky Vaughn.
That ball would have been out of a lot of parks. Oh, yeah? Name one. Yellowstone?
I will say there are a lot of fans who maybe are acting a little bit more like is it Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid?
Yeah. Is it Randy Quaid, right, at the end?
Are you still talking Major League 2? Dude, I don't know Major League 2. I know Major League 1. No, I've seen it like a million times.
Right, it's the same guy.
Tom Berenger?
No.
Randy Quaid is not in Major League 1.
Is it just Major League 2 that he's in?
I don't know. I don't know Major League 2. Like most people, I've only seen Major League 1 a million times. Sorry.
Holy man.
I can't help you on that one.
Putting both those movies together?
I don't think Randy Quaid is in it, though. He's certainly not in the first one.
Okay.
All right. We do have some of you guys on the line. I want to grab some of the calls. I'd love to try to figure out an answer to this question, what is going on with Russell Wilson. But honestly, it gets worse than that, because the more you start unpeeling the layers of the onion, the more it smells. That's next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.